So I'm early 20s, living in Cardiff. Skin, but life's interesting. Living right on the edge of the city centre. Wembley's closed because they're building a new stadium. Everything's happening in Cardiff. I'm working right in the middle of Cardiff. I've got loads of mates around me, and I'm doing shit I shouldn't be doing, as well as working. And there's a party every weekend, you know, football matches, FA Cup finals. Every weekend there's a carnival atmosphere. So, and I'm right in the middle of it. So I'm out partying all the time, and I'm just permanently on one.
So where do you go from there? When do you have another moment of clarity?
Bought a house. Fell off a roof.
Right.
Fell 10 stories.
Wow.
Hit the scaffolding. It's really funny. I fell and I bounced all the way down.
I knew you were going to say this. You were going to say that this was funny.
Oh, it was fucking hilarious because I remember coming off this roof and it was a block of flats. And somebody famous actually owned a flat that I fell off, which was just made it sweeter. And I can remember like going, oh shit, as the scaffolding boards flew past my head and hitting like scaffolding poles all the way down. I remember grabbing onto me and screaming for my brother to help me. And he just kind of walked up to me. He was almost eye level. He went, just let go, you daft prick. And I'd gone down literally the whole way. It was like 120 foot. But I'd bounced back and forth all the way down, which is the only reason I'm still here. Anyway, we weren't in Cardiff. We were away from Cardiff. And they drove me back and dumped me at the hospital and fucked off. I can remember thinking, like, what a twat. Anyway, I fell out with him over it.
This is your brother?
This is my brother, because he dumped me at the hospital. I fell out with him over it. I was having a bit of a shit time anyway, and I thought, I've had enough of this. So I quit the building stuff. Got another job working in a bar, which was a really stupid idea, looking back on it. And thought, I want out. But suddenly it was like, you know, they had the big property boom, the end of 90s, early 2000s. My house had gone from being worth like, I think we paid like just under 40 grand for it. Now it's worth over 80. Okay, it's time to move. So we sold the house and moved. Got married. We literally got married and sold the house within... Got married in December. House got sold in January. We moved at the end of January.
Where did you move to?
Back to where my wife's family are from. The plan was we're going to go there. We're going to spend a few weeks tying up loose ends, putting all of our stuff in storage, and then we're going to travel. But we never actually got to travel.
So, right, okay, so you go there, you put everything in storage. Your plan is to travel. Has your wife finished university by that point?
No, she dropped out.
Right, okay.
I couldn't afford to finance it anymore. She was working hard, I was working hard. We had no family support whatsoever. Literally, she was now my responsibility. Her family were less than helpful. My family were even worse. So she quit.
So this is where, again, you're back to this kind of isolated situation, but you haven't just got yourself to look after now. You've got somebody else.
We were in our own little world. We disappointed her family massively. We were still young. We'd been married. We got married. We shouldn't have got married at that point. We should have waited. Also, we had the whole big family wedding, which was stupid. She wanted to go off and get married abroad somewhere, just two of us. I argued, wanted the whole big family wedding, because that's what you're supposed to do. That was a fucking mistake. Fell out with all of my family. And I got beat up, actually. I got beat up really badly.
At your wedding?
No, before my wedding. Supposed to be my stag night on the Saturday. On the Friday, a bunch of my mates turned up. Decided to start drinking at 10 in the morning because that was a great idea. In my bar.
So you were...
I was managing a bar. It was a big bar, well-known bar. And I basically got a job part-time in the bar. Within 3 weeks, I was the assistant manager. And then the manager fucked off for a month and left me in charge. Over my stag weekend. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Yeah. So one of my mates turned up from Munich. He flew over from Munich. He was the best man at my wedding. He was an old karate buddy. Absolute fucking animal, for want of a better word. First time I ever met him, actually, we were in the town I grew up in, and I was with one of my friends who's also one of the instructors at the uni. He went, oh, that's him over there. And I can remember seeing this guy. He's about 6'2", like hair like a girl, leather jacket that you could smell before you could see. And he's holding this guy by his ankles, stamping on his bollocks while he's laying on the floor.
Wow.
And then he kind of looked, the guy with me shouted up, and he looked, give me a thumbs up, and carried on stamping on the guy's balls. I was thinking, all right, we've been friends ever since. So he turned up at my bar on the Friday, Stag Nights on the Saturday, absolutely fucking steaming before he even walked in. So at 10 o'clock in the morning before the bar opened, we decided to get on it. And it continued. And then it went right through the day. My mother-in-law turned up to go dress shopping with my wife, and I basically told her to go fuck herself because she shouldn't be here because it's my stag night, which caused a big row between me and my wife. A couple of my other boys turned up, and we got on it. And a long story short is I'd thrown somebody out of the bar a few weeks before, and he came back. So I was having a conversation with him in the middle of the road, let's just say. I didn't see the other car full of lads turn up, and I took a baseball bat to the face.
Wow.
So a bit of reconstructive surgery later. So all that happened, and it caused a little bit of trouble. Police were obviously involved. And then we retaliated, which we'll not go into on this, but it was time to move on, I think. So we decided to go back to my wife's family for a few weeks and then travel.
So you said that, you know, that was the plan, you were going to go and travel, but you didn't.
No, we got married, we told everyone we were going to travel, went back to my wife's hometown, and one of her relatives got very, very sick. And we ended up staying to help. And she died, which was shit because she was a really nice person. And then we found out my wife was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
And there is...
And we had a lot of available cash because we just sold a couple of houses for twice what we paid for them.
So you had two houses?
Well, we had the one, and then we had other money coming in. So we had a bit of money. Had no money, then we had loads of money. And, you know, like every bloke in his early 20s that had fuck all, I decided to waste it. And we partied a lot. Never got travelling, and then she got pregnant, and that was a massive oh fuck moment.
How did you deal with that? There's a Conrad that we're kind of learning about, which is in a situation all hell breaks loose, or there's a Conrad that takes stock and goes, I've got to change.
Panic, sheer panic.
How did that sheer panic plan out though?
I was a grumpy bastard. Like, literally didn't know what to do, didn't know how to deal with it. Whole time she was pregnant, I was really pleased, but really panicky the whole time. So I can't look after myself, let alone a fucking kid. You know, whose idea was this?
So what did you do?
Carried on working, bought a house.
Yeah.
Another house. Had a kid.
Were you training?
When we moved back to my wife's hometown, we moved there, I wasn't staying, and I got a call from... I had a call from the association that I was involved with to say that one of their flagship clubs, 25-year club, had lost its instructor and it was going to shut. Can I go and take care of it? No. Bit of arm bending later, I went down, did it. And then I got asked to teach at a David Lloyd club. So they asked me to go and teach for them. I reluctantly did it.
Because that's a posh club.
To be honest, it wasn't, because we were members of a posher club. Ah. And we got asked to go and do this, and I said, I'll do it. They offered me stupid money to do it. So I said, well, okay, I'll do it. I'll see how it goes. Within, I think they did a 12-week course. Within 8 weeks, they asked me to do it full-time. And then I got approached by the scruffiest woman you've ever seen, like absolute tramp. Walked into the class, and it turns out she was one of the directors of a private school. Will I go teach at this private school? Why not? Just as well. Give it a go. 3 months later, I was teaching full time. I ended up at this private school 3 days a week. I had like 200 students there. I had 80 at David Lloyd, and I thought, well, I better start some village classes. Within 6 months of that, I had about 450 students.
Wow. So you find yourself in these situations. These situations have come to you. You haven't gone to them.
I'm the sort of person, if somebody pitches me something and I'm interested, I'd rather give it a go and see it fuck up than regret not giving it a go. And with that especially, because I was paying membership at this health club anyway, and so I was like, I'll cancel that, I'll go to this David Lloyd club. And we went in, and it was easy money. You know, I was going in on a Sunday, teaching 8-10 kids. They were paying me like something like £60 an hour to do it. You know, that was a lot of money for me back then. I did it, I enjoyed it. Some of the kids were dickheads, but it was all right. I got to hang about in the gym. I quite liked it down there anyway. So I ended up doing this course. And next, you know, because I was working at a tourist attraction at the time, which was an old building, and it was right next to the school. So they said to me, can you come in and do this? And I was like, well, how many kids are you looking at? They're like, oh, maybe 10, 20 kids. I'm thinking, okay, 10 kids, £5 a head, £50. I can do that, £50 an hour. I walked in on the first day, there was 60 kids in the class. I'm thinking, oh, shit, I've just won the lottery. So I did this, long story short, as I ended up teaching in that school every day of the week. So I was teaching at this private school probably for a good year before the headmistress actually came into one of my classes. And she came up to me, she went, where did you do your formal teaching training? And I went, I didn't. And she went, anyway, long story short, is apparently I teach the way they teach you to teach. I don't plan the way I teach. I teach the way I was taught. I'm lucky I had good teachers. Also, I'm a bit slow on the uptake, so I spell it out quite well to people. And that's all it is. But I did really well at that first private school. It went wrong later when I started teaching at a second private school because they hated me. But this one school, the headmistress was an absolute diamond. She could see that I was good at what I did. And she allowed me my little quirks, if you like. There was a couple of complaints about my teaching methods by parents, and she backed me 100%. But we got on, which helped. I went from working, again, it was a hands-on building type role, to teaching. I ended up teaching full-time. I had I had a huge following, absolutely huge, and the school backed me 100%. And I was lucky, you know, we did the World Championships. I took 14 students, we won 16 medals, which was, at the time, everyone's going on about it. And I was like, well, you know, I knew we were going to win. What's the issue? But I was very, very lucky.
Have you ever been able to sit and be proud of yourself?
I wouldn't say proud of myself. I'm proud of some of the things that have happened, but not particularly proud of myself. I taught them. I wasn't the only person that taught them, but they put the hard work in. All I did was show them the right path to do it. The pride is in their achievements, not mine. All I did was point them in the right direction. I didn't do it, they did.
So at this point, I can imagine that must have gone quite quick, in that it feels like it has, that you've gone from you and your missus, you've got some money eventually because you'd sold both your houses, but then you're spending it on parties.
Well, it was the one house. The other one was different. We'll just skip past that.
Well, then next minute you're teaching, and then you're not just teaching so many. You've got 400 students, and then this. Did it feel like that was a whirlwind?
There were moments, sort of because the higher society of the area had the kids in the school. So my wife's family, like I said before, were quite upper middle class, almost, you know, upper class, whatever you want to call it. And then she's brought this lad home that can't read and write. I've got tattoos, which they hated. I was the rough element in the family. Suddenly her mum's striving to do all this shit with the rotary and the round table and whatever else, and I'm getting invited right in at the very top of it, because I know their kids, I teach their kids, and I got to know the parents, because what happened, we were teaching the kids, and I was doing evening classes, and then suddenly all the dads were turning up, and there's a massive RAF following where we were. You know, I know a few of the Red Arrows, I know a few of that lot, and so they were all coming into my classes. So suddenly I've gone from being like council estate white trash to fucking around with the upper class. And there was one, they do this magazine. It's like a society magazine for the town. It's so fucking pretentious, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, you got this pretentious ass magazine, and me and my wife are on the cover with a bunch of our mates out on a night out. And that was just ridiculous. And then there's this ball, and everyone goes on about this fucking ball. You know, I can't imagine anything worse. It's like watching paint dry at best. And you've got to be invited to it. And we got invited to it, and I fucked it off because I couldn't be bothered. And the family had been trying for years to get to this ball. And the hate I got from that, and I was like, do you know what? If you want to go, go. They're all wankers anyway. And stuff like that. And it just got ridiculous. But there was a point I got a bit, I think I was a bit mentally ill, but I got a bit kind of like, this is so ridiculous, it's funny. And I was an absolute prick. I was at the Bishop's garden party and I headbutted somebody at the Bishop's in the Bishop's back garden. And that was like, do you know what? Fuck it, I can get away with it. And I got invited back. And at that point, I realised, you know what? This whole thing is just ludicrous.
All your life, what you seem to say is, I got away with it. I could. I pushed myself. I got away with it. So why not?
The line's perspective, there is no real line, because if you argue it right or say the right things or make the right noises, you can get away with almost anything. And it will bite me on the ass. One day I'm going to get in a load of trouble. But up until now, touch wood, I've got away with shit I shouldn't have done.
You use that word hate so much, and it's like...
Hate is what gets me up in the morning.
But I don't think it... Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Hate is what fuels me.
Is it hate or is it proving a point?
No, it's hate.
Hate for what?
So, everyone, everything. So, I've been fucked over a little bit in my life, as everyone has. But getting back at them, those people, is what fuels me. Like, you know, you said I use the word hate a lot. I hate a lot of people. I can't even think now. Doing better and letting people see you do better because you fucking hate those pricks. I got told once by somebody, he's like, treat every situation like a fight. Treat every single situation like a fight and you'll be all right. And it works. So doing well. It's like the business we're sat in right now. I had a guy turn up the second day I opened, absolutely slating me for what I'm doing. It's ridiculous, it's this, it's that, blah, blah. You'll not last 3 months. On our second anniversary, I rang him up, went, right then, prick. That's what I'm like. I'm petty and I'm small-minded and I'm vindictive, but it works for me.
Never throughout this so many hours that I've been with you have I heard you say the word love.
Is that a problem?
I'm asking you, when do you feel it?
Love my kids. What's love? What do you define as love?
See, straight away you feel awkward with the L word.
Oh, fuck yeah, I do. I love certain things. I love certain people. But it's a weakness. It's a definite weakness. You can love somebody and they can totally fuck you over. You can love something and you can lose the shine off it. But if you hate, I'm sounding like a bit of a dick, and I know I am. But I've learned growing up, like, you know, I love my family. Now, you know, I've had some quite serious personal trauma in the past couple of years, which I'm guessing we will touch upon at some point. I turned to my family in that time when I really needed them. And every single one of them fucked me on it. Every single one of them. And that almost was what finished me off. However, the fuckers that hurt me, that hate fuels me. You know, I got asked by, you know, I had to talk to some people. I got asked a little while ago, you know, are you going to hurt yourself? Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Well, no, I'm not. Why? Because I need to see these fuckers pay. That'll never change. I do love my kids. Don't get me wrong. I love my kids. You know, I love my family. I love my friends, whatever. But every single one of those has the capacity to hurt me, fuck up, do something like this, do something like that. Whereas the fact, the hate makes me wake up in the morning. That's what keeps me going. So I could have done something bad a little while ago. And everyone, oh, how could you hurt yourself because you've got kids, you've got this, you've got that. Actually, do you know what? I love my kids enough that taking the chaos out of their lives would be a good thing. However, the fact I hate these fuckers and I've got that's what makes me up in the morning.